The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told about Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Gracious God, please give us a sense of the fact that we are standing this morning on holy ground through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Good morning. Well, I want to begin by describing something called the Dale Carnegie Institute, and some of you may know of it. It's an organization that offers programs to help people feel more confident and self-assured, and one program in particular is for people who can't really remember names. And the advice the program gives is that when you meet someone for the first time, you should say their name in the first three sentences three times. So some time ago, I met a man who'd taken this course. Someone said to the man, "I'd like you to meet Jim Monroe." And after a few moments, the man turned to me and said, "So, Bob, nice to meet you. I'm glad you're here, Bob. Tell me, Bob, where do you live?" And I was so embarrassed, I spent the rest of the evening answering to Bob from everyone. But I tell you about this because in the first reading that we just heard from Exodus, we've got another introduction. And the name of the one being introduced is so unusual that not even a Dale Carnegie dropout would forget it. The voice of God comes out of this burning bush. And when Moses says, "What's your name?" God answers, "My name is I Am Who I Am," which is simply God's way of saying, "I am so much more than you can comprehend that there aren't really any words to fully describe me." This scene at the burning bush is just extraordinary. And in order to try to understand it, I want to tell you about a man named Joe Crater. Let me just ask, is that a name that anybody knows? No? Well, let me tell you about him. On a hot August evening in 1930, Joe Crater was having dinner with some friends on West 34th Street in Manhattan. And after dinner, he went out onto the sidewalk with his friends, said goodbye, and got into a taxi, and he was never seen again. And it's one of the famous missing person stories because Joe Crater was a New York State Supreme Court Associate Justice. There were all sorts of theories about what happened. I mean, kidnapping, murder, suicide. But there was one clue that told the tale. Back in his apartment, they found a note and a check left for his wife. The check was for a large amount, and the note said this in its entirety: "I am very weary. Love, Joe." And that note is our invitation this morning to think about some of the times in which you and I might be tempted to write something similar. All those moments when life just feels unfair and the weariness is settling in. And I'm talking about moments, for instance, when hospitals get bombed in Ukraine. And when those darn, can I say, just damn COVID variants just don't ever seem to go away. When politicians on both sides of the aisle are less than charitable. When you can't resolve that argument that's been going on in your family for years. When just getting out of bed in the morning feels like a major effort, and it all just seems too much. And given that, let's turn back to Moses now, because he is the Joe Crater of 1300 BC. And it starts right here at the burning bush. So you remember, God says to Moses, "I want you to lead my people out of slavery in Egypt." And you remember how Moses responds. I mean, he says, "Who am I to do something like that?" And God responds, "Don't worry, I am, will be with you." Then Moses says, "Well, okay, but I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to give speeches." And God actually gets a little irritated and says, in effect, "Look, Moses, who made your mouth?" And finally, Moses gives up and gives in to God's will. And how does God bless Moses? It's a very strange blessing. God sends him forth into 40 years of frustration and bone-deadening weariness. So first of all, you remember, Moses sets the Israelites free from captivity in Egypt. About 10 seconds after they're set free, they start to complain. There's no food, there's no water, they want to go back to slavery in Egypt. And then, when Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, he's gone 10 minutes, and when he comes down, they're all dancing a jig around a golden calf. Then, after 40 years of wandering in this blistering hot wilderness, there comes the cruelest blow of all. Moses leads them right up, finally, to the Promised Land. They look over this border onto a land flowing with milk and honey, and what happens? Moses dies. He's right on the brink of all these promises being fulfilled, and he doesn't make it. And here is the great secret. Moses never left a note for his wife. Moses never got into a taxi during those long 40 years. And I wish I could tell you it's because Moses was a great spiritual giant, but he wasn't. At the core, he was just like you and me. The one thing that happened was that Moses found himself standing on holy ground. And it was on that holy ground that Moses discovered that he was, in plain and simple fact, the object of God's love. That's why Moses is our man this morning. When the bone-deadening weariness hits and it all feels like it too much, Moses is our man. When the federal witness protection program starts feeling like a decent option, Moses is our man. Across 3,000 years, I believe that his voice is loud and clear at St. Andrew's Church this morning, telling us that everything changes when we are met by the love of God, standing on holy ground. And then finally, Moses does one more thing. Moses, the giver of the law, points us to the giver of grace. Moses, along with all the lawgivers and the prophets in the Old Testament, rises up to point us to the holy ground that is right here this morning, the holy ground of the Word made flesh, You and I are on this morning the holy ground of the one who spent his time with all of the Joe Craters of first century Palestine. A crooked tax collector, a widow who gave a couple of pennies into the plate, which wouldn't do anything for our capital funds drive, a man with leprosy, woman who'd had five husbands, a man with mental illness, an adulteress. You and I are standing on the holy ground of the one who chose the cross to bear the weight of our weariness. You and I have the one who says to all the Joe Craters in this congregation this morning, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." So let me close with just a little picture of what it might be like to hear that voice this morning on this holy ground here. And it has to do with an Episcopal priest named Bill Welch. And Bill Welch, at one point in his ministry, was going through a Joe Crater period. And he tried to deal with it by praying harder and thinking nothing but Dale Carnegie positive thoughts. And finally, he decided to preach a sermon titled "The Life That Wins." And it was going to be a 10-point sermon on how to have a victorious Christian life. And on the Sunday that he preached that sermon, there was a young couple with a little girl in church. And this little girl was subject to seizures. And as Bill was preaching his sermon, right in the middle of it, the girl began to have a seizure. And the mom got up and carried her daughter to the back of the church and simply stood there, rocking her child and holding her as the seizures began to ease. And as Bill tried to keep preaching while he was watching this drama going on at the back of the church, he realized that he was being preached to. In that moment, it came to him as a gift that the child at the back of the church was him. He understood in that moment that the arms of that mother were the arms of Jesus, cradling him and holding him. And that was Bill's burning bush moment. He was face to face with the voice of Jesus saying to him, "This is the way I love you, Bill. Not when you master the life that wins, not when you've memorized everyone's name, not when you're a victorious Christian saint, but just as you are right now, seizures and all, struggles and all, weariness and all." So I close by saying to me and to all of you, what might be some struggles that you and I brought in here this morning? Whatever we are praying this morning on this holy ground right here, I pray that we may hear the voice of Jesus saying something like, "Come unto me, Moses and Joe Crater. Come unto me, Russian and Ukrainian soldiers. Come unto me, Republicans and Democrats. Come unto me, little ones in our Sunday school right now at the back of the church, and the little ones in the war zones in Ukraine. Come unto me, you who have COVID, and you who are ministering to those with COVID. Come unto me, members of the St. Andrew's Vestry and members of the Worthington Street Shelter. Come unto me, you with hidden scars, you who are exhausted. Come unto me, Charlotte and Rick and Jim." That's my prayer this morning, that you and I may hear the voice of Jesus on this holy ground, even in this service, saying, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." Amen.